Well, that takes care of the dietary factors. Let's turn now to the question of physical activity. That's Dr. Austin Henschel's department, so suppose we let him cover that phase of the work. Dr. Henschel.
We're all familiar with the vague, popular idea that heart trouble is somehow related to or influenced by physical activity. It's important to consider the possibility that physical activity may be a factor in the development of high blood pressure and diseases of the heart. Now, that brings up a lot of questions. For instance, is the person who works hard all his life more likely to die from a heart disease and high blood pressure than the man who does nothing more strenuous than drive a car? Would the number of deaths from heart disease be reduced if every middle-aged person cut out all types of heavy exercise or if they engaged in regular physical activity? Is hard work for a short period of time more harmful than less severe work that's continued for a long period? Those are just a few of the many questions we're asking about activity habits, and for which we have no answer yet. But from our present program, we hope to get some clarifying information.
And again, Dr. Henschel, how are you using the volunteer subjects to find out some of these answers?
Well, each man goes through a regular battery of tests related to exercise and its influence on the heart and blood vessels and blood pressure. By comparing the response of the young adult university students with that of the older man, we can determine how the factor of age influences the strain on a man's circulatory system after exercise or hard work. Then, too, a comparison of each man's response to the work test year to year will give a clue to the bodily changes. We also have a special group among the older men who are now and have in the past been physically active. A comparison of the development of high blood pressure and heart disease in this more athletic group with the less active men should give us valuable information on the safest course to follow both during early maturity and as one becomes older.
Thank you, Dr. Henschel. That brings us to probably the most complex factor of the three, the effect of emotional stress on the cardiovascular system. For that, let's check with Dr. Joseph Brozek, who's directly concerned with that phase of our investigation. All right, Dr. Brozek.
Well, this is a complicated matter. But we all know that when we experience an intense emotion, such as fear or grief or anger, certain changes take place within our bodies. When we are angry, our muscles become tense, our heart pounds, the pupils of the eyes become wider. Any acute emotional experience will have an effect also upon the muscles in the walls of the blood vessels.
How does this relate to hypertension, Dr. Brozek?
These changes occur during acute emotions. And when periods of emotional stress are prolonged or frequently repeated, permanent changes may take place in our blood vessels. It should be realized that we become pale not only in our face, but also in the walls of our stomach and in the kidneys. It appears that this is an important link in the chain of reactions leading to hypertension. Now, to complicate the matters, our emotions are closely linked to our temperament and personality. For example, some of us are quicker to become angry. Some of us are more inclined to worry than others. So we are studying the personality of each individual in our two volunteer groups. We are doing this in order to answer two basic questions. Firstly, what, if anything, is it in the makeup of human beings and in their emotional mode of life that differentiates people who do and those who do not develop high blood pressure? And secondly, how does hypertensive disease change personality?
What methods are you using to study your volunteers?
As the first step, we are using the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. In addition, we are using another special questionnaire developed in this laboratory by Dr. Joslin. This questionnaire was designed to cover those personality factors which seem to be specifically related to the development of hypertension. Later on, as our understanding of the problem will increase, other instruments for the study of personality will be added. On the basis of this research, we hope to arrive at a better understanding of the emotional and personality factors connected with the development of high blood pressure.
Well, there you have at least part of the story. It's far too early yet, of course, to talk about results or findings in what must, of necessity, be a long-term project. Actually, we are now only in the second year of study on our volunteer subjects. And in that connection, I'd like to stress the fact that, without the help of these human guinea pigs, businessmen, professional men, and students from the Twin Cities and the university, we could never attempt an investigation so immediately related to the problems of our high-pressure civilization of today. With their continued help, and with the scientific skills and knowledge of a highly trained staff of specialists in every related field, we hope eventually to discover the causes of these disorders so characteristic of our time, and thereby learn how to delay or even prevent their development.
You have just heard 500 Human Guinea Pigs, another in a series of university reports to the people of Minnesota. Today's program featured Dr. Ansel Keys, Dr. Carlton B. Chapman, Dr. Austin Henschel, and Dr. Joseph Brozek, all of the University Laboratory of Physiological Hygiene. This has been a Minnesota University of the Air presentation brought to you in cooperation with the station to which you are now listening.